Welcome to Making a Difference, episode 24. I'm Eric Crossley, Kenosha, ground zero for racism. Thank you so much for joining us for the latest episode of Making a Difference. Thanks to Dayron down in Florida, still hanging in there with everything that's gone on this summer. And for 2020, we're now in September, and we're excited that we've gone two-thirds of the way through the year of 2020. And I remember back on New Year's Eve with my partner, Flores, my sweet pie, and I said, New Year's Eve, I said, 2020 will be a year to remember, but I did not have any idea what that would turn out to be. Anyway, we're talking about Kenosha and about what's been going on in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and we haven't spent a lot of time talking about Black Lives Matter and the racism and what's been going on in the cities and the attacks that have been happening on both sides, but for the most part on the side coming from the Donald Trump right-wingers. We'll talk more about that in this episode, and we've got some interesting things to discuss. But right now, I do want to say I'm making a difference. This is episode 24. It's September 1st. We have 2 months to go till the election. We are excited that we hope the show will explode for the next 2 months. Not just because I want to be successful and Dayron wants to be successful, which we do, but because we want to help spread the word and help people out and help make a difference in this election. We are just right now only 2 months and 2 days from Election Day of November 3rd. I wanted to say a big shout out to our top five countries this week, which are in order of popularity for the show: the United States, Canada, Australia, our friends down under, back again. Germany, the only non-English-speaking country or main language being English-speaking country on there. And the United Kingdom, number five. And welcome for a new country. We're joined by Peru. And thank you, Peru, one of our new South American countries. I want to shout a big thank out also to Anchor, Google+, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Breaker, Twitter, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Overcast and Pocket Cast, all the people that help getting the word out. We're especially excited for iHeartRadio because it's a new venture for us going into that. So we're going to talk about Kenosha, ground zero for racism, and we have to give some background about Kenosha before we hear from Joe Biden and what he has to say about what's been going on. But let's start out with this report from CNN. What happened in Kenosha happened just over a week ago with two different incidences in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The most recent one was just before midnight last Tuesday, August 25th. A young man clutching a long rifle wandered around the dark streets of Kenosha, Wisconsin in a backward baseball cap and a green t-shirt. Now, protesters in the Wisconsin city were demanding justice after an officer shot local resident Jacob Blake seven times in the back while his children watched from the car. So seven times in the back, he was shot. And this happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So first of all, this man was being handcuffed. He did have a knife apparently in his car, and it was there, but he did not have any weapon on him at the time, and he was shot seven times in the back by the Kenosha police. He is still alive, but he is in still critical condition and will probably be paralyzed from the waist down. Was this man a completely innocent man? No. He did have a knife on him. His children were in the car, however, and he did not have a gun. He did not pull a gun on the Kenosha police, and they shot him seven times in the back. And in case you're wondering, are you surprised? He was and is an African American. Now, this person in Kenosha, who's been in the hospital since this happened, actually last Sunday is when this happened, which is just 9 days ago, he has now been handcuffed to his hospital bed by the police in Kenosha at the hospital. He's handcuffed. This is the man they shot seven times in the back and who's paralyzed from the waist down for life. Is handcuffed to his hospital bed by the police who shot him. Absolutely stunning. Now, as the 29-year-old black man fought for his life at the hospital, following the Sunday incident last August 23rd, last Sunday, people marched, chanted, and asked for 3 days live at demonstrations. And they, these are Black Lives people and other people protesting the police shooting, they faced off with armed civilian Trump protesters. And then things took a deadly turn. What happened then, folks? Well, the teenager with the long gun, the 17-year-old, scuffled with police near a car dealership, opened fire, and allegedly killed two people and wounded a third, according to a criminal complaint. Even as police and emergency vehicles raced to the scene and chaotic video of the fatal encounter appeared on social media, the armed suspect walked past a group of police officers unnoticed. This was an armed white suspect. He walked past unnoticed because the police didn't notice him. He was with a shotgun, with several weapons. And this man, this 17-year-old boy, really, because he's not legal age, walked past the police, and he was arrested 30 minutes later in Antioch, Illinois. This 17-year-old is Kyle Rittenhouse. He's now facing charges that he allegedly killed Anthony M. Huber and Joseph Rosenbaum. This happened, all happened, in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And now, before we hear more about this and about what the president's amazing reaction to this was, I would like to hear from the other side of this, and that's our presidential candidate and hopeful future president, Joe Biden, and what he had to say about what happened in Kenosha and about the reaction.
I want to make it absolutely clear, something very clear about all of this. Rioting is not protesting. Looting is not protesting. Setting fires is not protesting. None of this is protesting. It's lawlessness, plain and simple. And those who do it should be prosecuted. Violence will not bring change. It'll only bring destruction. It's wrong in every way. It divides instead of unites, destroys businesses, only hurts the working families that serve the community. It makes things worse across the board, not better. No, it's not what Dr. King or John Lewis taught. And it must end. Fires are burning, and we have a president who fans the flames rather than fighting the flames. But we must not burn. We have to build. This president long ago forfeited any moral leadership in this country. He can't stop the violence because for years he's fomented it. You know, he may believe mouthing the words law and order makes him strong. But his failure to call on his own supporters to stop acting as an armed militia in this country shows how weak he is. Does anyone believe there'll be less violence in America if Donald Trump is reelected? We need justice in America. We need safety in America. We're facing multiple crises. Crises under Donald Trump have kept multiplying. COVID, economic devastation, unwarranted police violence, emboldened white nationalists, a reckoning on race, declining faith in the birth and of the right American future. There's no reason why we can't just do so much more than we're doing. The common thread, the incumbent president who makes things worse, not better, an incumbent president who sows chaos rather than providing order, an incumbent president who fails in the basic duty of the job, which is to advance the truth that all of us know, that we're all born with the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That's right, all of us.
Okay, so that comes to us from, hopefully, future President Joe Biden. I wanted to say, by the way, that Dayron Arias, my producer, made a contribution to the Biden campaign, and we will be doing that also up here in Maryland. So the Biden-Harris campaign, we're not impartial here. We're not pretending by any stretch of the imagination to be impartial, especially in 2020 this time around. Now, Joe Biden had some interesting ideas there. He said, talking about the president, President Trump, he said the president long ago forfeited any moral leadership in this country. He can't stop the violence. President Trump is actually living on the violence, and he's going to run the last 2 months of his campaign based on trying to reach as many people on the far right and as many the right wingers, the KKK lovers, the people that are racist, homophobic, everything he can reach with anything he can reach between now and November 3rd. So we have to be aware of that. Joe Biden also said, we have a president who only fans the flames. Fires are burning, but rather than putting the flames out, he fans them. His failure to call on his own supporters to stop acting as an armed militia shows how weak he is. And that's Joe Biden, as we just heard, talking about President Trump. The president won't even denounce the two people that were murdered and the third person injured by the 17-year-old in Wisconsin, Kyle Rittenhouse. Remember that name, folks. Already online, a GoFundMe page has over $100,000 for the funding to help the defense of Kyle Rittenhouse. Kyle Rittenhouse showed up at the protests. He's a known Trump supporter. He's not of legal age. By the way, even in Wisconsin, it's not legal under the age of 18 to be owning a gun of any kind. Social media reports Rittenhouse was walking down the street near the car dealership about 11:45 p.m. a week ago, last Tuesday, August 25th, nearly 4 hours after the curfew, holding what investigators later determined to be a Smith & Wesson AR-15-style 223 rifle, the criminal complaint indicates. So this is what we were dealing with last Tuesday. This is after the person has already been shot by the police in Kenosha last Sunday, 9 days ago, 7 times in the back. Now we have this 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse walking through the streets, and he was armed and he was ready to go. Social media accounts believed to belong to Rittenhouse portray a young white man with an affinity for guns who supports Blue Lives Matter and President Donald Trump. Now, everybody's entitled to their opinions and their supports, but keep in mind, this young man was driven 25 miles, by the way, by his mother to attend this rally. She needs to be also implicated for indirect, at least, murder, homicide for doing that, because it's illegal for the 17-year-old boy to have these weapons in the first place. And she drove him 25 miles across state lines to this rally where he murdered two people and injured a third person. What exactly happened at that time is a little bit up in the air, but we do have videos of it. They are online. Apparently, what happened as far as Rittenhouse clashed at the scene of the protest with people gathered near the car dealership, the reasons not specified. Rosenbaum, one of the people who was murdered, was unarmed and threw an object that appeared to be a plastic bag at him and missed, according to the complaint. Rosenbaum and the suspect moved across the parking lot and appeared to be in close proximity when loud bangs suddenly rang out and Rosenbaum fell to the ground. As Rosenbaum lay on the ground, the suspect made a call on his cell phone and said, quote, I just killed somebody, as he ran away. His friend received a call from him at 11:46 p.m. saying he had just shot someone. Rosenbaum was declared dead at 12:47 a.m. on Wednesday. Now, on Monday, President Trump defended Kyle Rittenhouse, who's been charged with several counts, including first-degree intentional homicide. Trump said he was trying to get away from them, I guess, and he fell. Trump claimed, pointing to videos of the shooting. And they very violently attacked him. He was in very big trouble. Now, what happened after this murder occurred, Rosenbaum, the young man, was killed by Kyle Rittenhouse. Rittenhouse was then attacked by some people who apparently were trying to subdue him after the shooting, and he killed one more person and injured another. This is a 17-year-old boy, and this happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin, folks. And this is what's happening in Donald Trump's America. Today, Tuesday, Donald Trump decided he wanted to go to Kenosha, not to show sympathy for the two people who were murdered, the innocent people who were unarmed and murdered by the 17-year-old right-wing militia nut who's a Trump supporter, but to go to support the police who shot the person in the back 7 times and to support Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old who committed murder on 2 people and severely injured a third. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Making a Difference. I'm Eric Crossley, and I wanted to mention again, this episode is dedicated not just to the people who lost their lives in Kenosha, and the name of this episode, episode 24, Kenosha, Ground Zero for Racism, but the people who lost their lives on both sides, because a Trump supporter, a right-winger, apparently was killed in California a few days ago and shot. But the majority of the violence and the armed violence is coming, 99% of it is coming from the right wing and the Trump supporters and the people like the 17-year-old boy who murdered 2 people. Now, was the second one that was killed by 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse, was the second person who died completely innocent? Probably not. Nobody was probably completely innocent that was out there that night, but nobody deserves to be murdered, let alone by a 17-year-old that doesn't even know what he's doing out there, that his mother drove him. His mother drove him to the rally to help him commit murder. She saw he had a weapon. She saw he had a weapon. She had several weapons, but he had a big, large weapon. We just talked about that a little while ago. And his mother decided, you know what? I'm going to drive him to this rally because what can go wrong with my 17-year-old, the right winger, the crazy one, with the Trump supporter who attends all these crazy meetings and says all these nut things? What could possibly go wrong with him going down there where the Black Lives Matter people are with weapons, with an idea in his mind that he was going to commit murder? And then after he committed murder, called a friend on his cell phone and said, I just murdered somebody. I just killed somebody. That's what is going on in Donald Trump's America. You know, we've talked about so many different things, and there's so many different issues that we have to discuss, and we haven't talked enough about this side of what's been going on in Donald Trump's America, because it's racism, and it's racism on steroids. This, folks, is not at all acceptable. Now, Mr. Trump, more quotes from Monday. By the way, Donald Trump went on Twitter after this happened, and he tweeted 89 times. 89 times. Now, this was on Sunday and Monday, though. 89 times defending the Kenosha police. They shot the unarmed suspects 7 times in the back. Defending them, that person is amazingly alive, paralyzed for life, and defending Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old who killed 2 people and severely injured a third. The president, that's why he went to Kenosha. He went there to support the police who shot somebody 7 times in the back and to support Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old who committed murder. The president said, he was speaking of Kyle Rittenhouse, he said, quote, he was trying to get away from them, I guess, and he fell, Trump claimed, pointing to videos of the shooting, and they very violently attacked him. He was in very big trouble. He probably would have been killed, but it's under investigation. Trump plans and has visited Kenosha as of today, Tuesday, September the 1st. On the eve of his visit to Kenosha, Trump said in an interview with Fox News that the use of force on Blake, this is the man who was shot 7 times in the back last Sunday, the use of force on Blake, who was shot 7 times in the back by police, was like having a bad day at the golf course. Quote, this is the president, shooting the guy in the back many times, I mean, couldn't you have done something different? Couldn't you have wrestled him, Trump said of the incident? But they choke, just like in a golf tournament. They miss a 3-foot putt. That's what the president of the United States thinks. A man in front of his children, in front of his 3 children, shot in the back 7 times by the Kenosha, Wisconsin police. He thinks that was like a 3-foot putt for police. What that means exactly, I don't know. But I know we have a president who's completely lost his mind. We have a president who is way over the line now. And we are in deep danger, folks. We still have 2 months till the election, and we have 4.5 months before the inauguration. And who's to say Trump's not going to say on election day after he loses or the day after, I contest the election. I'm making the election. I'm completely defrauding the election. It never occurred. Who's to say he's not going to say that? Now, law enforcement and other authorities have used force while intervening in nearly 400 Black Lives Matter protests since police killed George Floyd in May, according to new data that paints the clearest portrait yet of the historic unrest that swept across the United States this summer. Figures from the U.S. Crisis Monitor offer a bleak forecast of escalating political violence heading into a contentious election. While most protests have been nonviolent, police or other authorities intervened in about 725 Black Lives Matter protests in the United States between May 24th and August 22nd, sometimes using force, including tear gas, rubber bullets, or beating demonstrators with batons, data shows. There were also over 100 instances of government violence directed against the media during this period. This is because of what Donald Trump says about the media. The media is the enemy. This is exactly what Nixon did, except on steroids. To Donald Trump, the media is the enemy because the media is telling the truth about what's been going on and using his quotes of lies against him. Not to mention the fact that Donald Trump has committed time and time again treason and is planning on doing it again in this election, and already is, actually. On top of that, the Crisis Monitor and the Bridging Divides Initiative at Princeton University identified over 100 instances of non-state actors, including at least 20 distinct far-right militia groups, intervening in Black Lives Matter demonstrations, sometimes violently, since May 24. There were also dozens of cases of individual perpetrators, some linked to white supremacist groups like the KKK, driving vehicles into Black Lives Matter demonstrators. And it could get worse. I think we all have all the pieces at hand to make a perfect storm, so to speak, as we march closer and closer to the election, said Dr. Rubida Kishi, the Director of Research and Innovation for the Crisis Monitor. There were nearly 11,000 demonstrations in the United States between May 24th and August 22nd, accompanied by terrifying instances of state repression, including the violent removal of protesters outside the White House to make room for a presidential photo op, where he held the Bible upside down, by the way, and the abduction of protesters by federal agents into unmarked vans driving around Portland, Oregon. That happened earlier this summer. We never found out exactly what happened to those protesters. We don't know what is going on in this country with Donald Trump in charge right now, and with him deciding to send in troops everywhere. He's sending in the National Guard in Wisconsin, was already going into Kenosha. The state, the governor, the Democratic governor, had already ordered the National Guard. The governors can do that. And Trump said he ordered the National Guard and saved the city. The National Guard was already on its way to Kenosha after what happened. The governor had sent them in to quell the rioting and to make peace. And the president now takes credit for that, and he flies to Kenosha, Wisconsin. Simply stunning. I mean, you honestly could not believe what we have seen under this president over the past 3.5+ years. Now, I wanted to give a COVID update on cases in the United States. Over 6 million cases now in the United States of COVID-19. Globally, nearly 26 million. The total fatalities in the United States, deaths due to COVID-19, as of today, September 1st, 184,270. Globally, fatalities, 852,561. So we have lost nearly 200,000 people now in the United States from COVID-19. And we've talked about it time and time again, how this president during March, April, May, into June, did absolutely nothing, took no leadership role in stopping this virus, in making a nationwide shutdown and ordering everyone to wear masks so that we would be like other countries now. But we're not. People are still dying here. Now it's September and the fatality rates thankfully have gone down some, and the rate of infection has gone down here in Maryland and many other states. But the fall is coming. It's right around the corner, and we don't know what's going to happen with the next wave of COVID-19, and we're still going to have this idiot as president. Now, this comes to us from Politico.com. Alice Miranda Olstein, senior Trump administration officials in June privately warned seven states about dangerous coronavirus outbreaks that put them in the highest risk red zone, while publicly dismissing concerns about a second wave of COVID-19, according to White House documents House Democrats released on Monday. The House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis released 8 weeks of previously confidential reports obtained from the White House Coronavirus Task Force that Democrats said showed the administration acting over the summer to willfully cover up public health risks for political gain. Rather than being straight with the American people and creating a national plan to fix the problem, the president and his enablers kept these alarming reports private. Representative Jim Clyburn, Democrat, South Carolina, subcommittee's chair, said in his statement, quote, as a result of the president's failures, more than 58,000 additional Americans have died since the task force first started issuing private warnings, and many of the task force's recommendations still have not been implemented. By mid-July, 19 states were in the red zone, and the task force was pleading with them to increase testing. However, Trump repeatedly insisted that the country was testing too much and claimed without evidence that the virus would soon disappear. By early August, the task force document listed 23 states in the red zone, right around the time that Trump in an Axios interview brushed off concerns that more than 1,000 people were dying every day, saying, quote, it is what it is. It's under control as much as you can control it. It is what it is. That's what President Donald Trump said about a virus that, according to Representative Jim Clyburn and a subcommittee looking deeply into the administration's reaction or lack of reaction to the COVID-19 pandemic, said that this administration and this president is now responsible for at least 58,000 additional Americans dying because they didn't act. That's more people, more Americans than died in the Vietnam War. 58,000, and we now have nearly 200,000 Americans dead. And the president simply ignores it now. Now it's off to Kenosha, Wisconsin, and time to go and thank the police for shooting an unarmed demonstrator 7 times in the back and paralyzing him in front of his children. Thanks for the president to go to thank a 17-year-old who was armed by his mother and driven 25 miles to shoot and murder 2 people at a demonstration and severely injure a third before he was arrested 30 miles across state lines for murder and other charges. That's what you have in Washington right now with President Donald Trump. And the racism in this country is out of control. It's only going to get worse. We have to be angry and we have to be ready to take action. We are not in a regular election, folks. Everybody has to stop thinking that. This is the election of our lives. I'm 62. I don't care if you're 18, 45, whatever age you are, 99. This is the election of your life. This is the time we need to act and make sure Joe Biden becomes our next president and Kamala Harris becomes our next vice president, because we cannot afford 4 more days past January 20th to have this man in office and to have Pence as vice president. We can't afford four more days after January 20th, 2021 for Donald Trump to be president, let alone four more years. Thanks for listening, folks. I'm Eric Crossley for Making a Difference. We'll be back again with a special Labor Day episode. We appreciate all of your support, and we are going to win this election, and we're going to win back our country. Bless you and bless the United States. Have a nice day.